broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
Mr. City Attorney,
his getup that he's wearing.
I think after months of runaway federal spending.
The last competition, the water.
We're go for main engine start. We have main engine start. 4, 3, 2.
Booty is worse than butt.
Call me naive.
World famous Phil Henry show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, man. And when we talk about stuff that we talk about, and when we think we know what it is that we're talking about, we always go to our go-to guy.
Booty is worse than butt.
Meathead. Anyway, welcome to the program. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And this is where you can get the straight thing, man. That's all we do here is we just talk straight, you know. It's not that big of a dance, you know. Just trying to lay it on you, and we got to wade through all the horse dung. As we say, we're the guys that come in with the broom, the shovel, the plunging utensil thing at the end of the day, you know, to try to unclog the drain that has been clogged by everybody else because of what they're eating. Or at least what they're feeding you. All right, so we were talking last hour on the program with the idea that Obama's a socialist. And this is an idea, like so many other ideas, if you repeat it enough times, enough people will believe it. People start to repeat these things. It's a sloganeering is a very popular way of getting a point of view out there. And if you get it out there enough times, people think it's true. Say Obama's a socialist enough times, people believe that it's true, even though as we've indicated, he's not engaging in anything that is unprecedented. There have been other American presidents, both Democrat and Republican, but that have been involved in it. But believe whatever you want to believe. My point is, if you believe it, and you're entitled to believe it, how do you know it's true? Because just because a bowling buddy says to you, well, you know, a national health program, you know, that's socialism, say what that is. And that doesn't necessarily mean the guy that implemented it is a socialist, per se. What I've always loved about government in America, as opposed to other countries, we lead the world, and I mean this, we lead the world in what I call a practical application of governance. That is, if we need something that on any given day may be described as socialism, well, that's what we need, and that's what we need. If we don't need it anymore, then get rid of it. If it's a program that has outlived its usefulness, get rid of it. If we need less of it, then we need less of it. If we need more of it, we need more of it. To me, that is exactly how you run a country. And you need leadership. That is people who can explain these things properly and be heard through the static and noise and the shrill shrieking of partisan ideologues who will sit and tell you, because they're married to that stuff, like they're married to that man like they're holding on to their appendix, that guy is this, and that guy is that, and that means he's bad, he's good, she's wrong, he's right, and then you're drowning in it. I mean, you're drowning in it. You'll never get your nose above the crap to save your life. Let's take a look now. So is Obama a socialist? The answer to the question is no, he's not. Does he believe in some socialized style policies? Yes, he does. Does he believe in the permanence of those things? From what I've heard him say, no, he doesn't. But then again, I was the guy that tried to tell you, does Obama believe that there's going to be a hard and fast time the troops get out of Iraq? No, he doesn't. Does Obama believe, you know, that America is supposed to turn tail and run out of the Middle East? No, he doesn't. Does Obama believe, you know, in taking guns away from people? No, he doesn't. But it doesn't make any difference what the truth is. Why would we want to believe what the truth is? What we want to believe is what we want to believe. I got a little statistic for you, by the way. The month of June, gun ownership in America went up, and it went up significantly. Gun sales, gun ownership on the rise. Doesn't sound to me like any country where the guns are suddenly being ripped away from the hands of the private citizen. Does that mean that I think Obama's just the greatest thing since sliced bread when it comes to guns? No. But I do understand that the guy is practical. He's not a moron. He's not going to try to take guns away from people. Only a president that's a blithering idiot. Only a politician that is an incompetent nincompoop. Only a newspaper columnist that doesn't want his job anymore. Anybody that would advocate taking a gun away from an American citizen is walking around. They don't know whether what time of day it is, man. They don't know whether the sun's out, whether it's dark. Nothing. And to even worry about something like that, it makes me question the person that's worrying about it. Okay. States awash in stimulus money to weatherize homes was the headline. Now get a load of this. Ready or not, states are getting a tenfold boost in federal money to weatherize drafty homes. An increase so huge, it has raised fears of waste and fraud and set off a scramble to find workers and houses for them to repair. Now, this is out of Montgomery, Alabama, but this could be any state in the country where the federal government has made available money through the stimulus package to weatherize homes. Is it part of this whole green agenda? I suppose so. But really what we're talking about is, you know, proper insulation so you're not peeing away your money on heating and cooling. In another time, in another century, in another era, our fathers, our mothers might have said, you know, we got to redo the insulation in here. It might be a different kind. It might entail a slightly different type of work. But nonetheless, the money's there. The money's there. The states are awash in it. You hearing what I'm saying here?
I thought that there's no more money and it's not getting there.
That's what I'm talking about.
No, wait a minute.
Last week, I heard that man Boner. His name is Boehner, okay?
What do you mean Boner?
Shut up, man. I heard that man say that there's no money. Now you say there is. I'm telling you that there's more money than they know what to do with. There's so much money, they're afraid there's going to be fraud. You understand what I'm talking about, folks? Just because John Boehner stands there and says with that kooky look on his face, there's no money as far as I can tell. It's not getting out there. There's nothing. Really? Is that right? Right now, the state's reporting got so much damn money, man, they can't hire guys fast enough. They're afraid of fraud. This is another way of dancing. This is another dance. This is just another little soft shoe everybody wants to do, a little juggling act. So you're convinced that the whole thing's a real cluster you-know-what, man, that it just isn't going to work. Why, you can't throw that much money at anything. It's just not going to work. Look at folks. First of all, $1 trillion hasn't been thrown at anything. We haven't spent $1 trillion. There's money that's out there. Let's take a look and see how that's doing. Then we'll move on and maybe make a few more dollars available. It's impossible, I believe, to put money on the table and say, here, let's do thus and so, and not have some good come from it. But here we see that the states are glutted with this money that they need to weatherize homes with, and they can't find enough workers, and they can't find enough houses, and they basically the states are dropping the ball. Now, you got an opportunity to put some guys to work. Now, what's your excuse? What's your problem today? Oh, it's fraud? Have you got an attorney general in your state? Have you got unemployed men in your state? Do you have construction contract? You got that, don't you? Then what I would suggest as the governor of whatever state, that you get your attorney general on the phone, get him off the golf course or wherever he is with his mistress or whatever bar he's in, send the highway patrol and escort him back to the Capitol, sit his ass down, put together a little task force. And by task force, it doesn't mean anything more than the attorney general and one other lawyer who can take notes. And start a clearinghouse of any fraud claims. Keep your eye on it because you got a lot of money. You're going to be putting a lot of guys to work. There's got a lot of contractors going to want to bid a lot of jobs. And you don't want that money to go to waste. So I'd get cracking and I'd start acting like a governor instead of standing there squealing like a pig under a gate because you don't want any of that stimulus money because you're a conservative. And meanwhile, you got to go meet Louisa Conchita down there right after she gets done with the 11 o'clock report. So you can hike up the trail, if you'll pardon the expression.
Oh, man, that was dirty.
No, it wasn't. What a mind you got, man.
What's dirty about that? Everybody knows the trail's dirty.
Your mind is like a sewer. Leslie Page, spokeswoman for the Council for Citizens Against Government Waste, and it's a good organization, said the program is open to fraud because of the way oversight is divided. The federal government passes the money to the states, then states pass it to community action agencies, and the agencies pass it to contractors who work with customers. It's such a Rube Goldberg operation, it should be setting off alarm bells, she said. Do you know who Rube Goldberg was?
Yeah, he's a Jew.
I didn't ask you that, did I?
No.
Some con man, I guess. Energy Department spokeswoman Christina Kylik defended the program, saying the federal government monitors state operations and does a thorough review of at least every 2 years of the local organizations. In addition, states are getting their money in increments and must demonstrate quality control to get more. The only part of this that I don't like, it says it passes the states to community action agencies. What is that supposed to mean? And then on to the contractors. So they say it's open to fraud, and I would say that the states ought to get up off their dead asses and monitor the fraud. You're using the money. You're putting people in your state to work. This is going to result in a positive impact on the communities that this money goes into. And I would think that you would welcome it and do everything that you can to ensure that the programs and the work and the men and everyone involved is employed and everything goes off swimmingly, okay? But the first reaction, because of so much of the politics involved, the first reaction is, well, this is a cluster bang, and over there, that's not going to work, and this is going to work. You know, either get out of the way, because I ain't heard anybody with any better ideas. And I'm getting a little sick and tired by, frankly, hearing people say that the money ain't getting out there. We found out that in Boehner's own state, the money's getting out there. We're finding out now the money's getting out there. We find out that a lot of this money has been spent. And much of the problem with getting the money to where it ought to be is not the federal government. It's the state at the so-called state level where everybody is keen to make sure that the preeminence and power and integrity of the state is protected. Talking about state rights or states or whatever the hell it's called, you know, you got the bread, man. Do something with it. Oh, boy. I'm going to run for Congress, and then I'm going to drop my pants right in the middle of a debate or something.
Man, that would be so great if you do something. I'd love to see that.
You really would?
Yes, I would. I'd be standing up there on C-SPAN. I'm Phil Hendry. Watch this.
And you'd take your pants off and everything?
Man, I'd pay money to see that.
I might. I might get done listening to a guy like King. Really? Is that right, Congressman? Are you all done?
Yes, I'm all done.
Uh-huh. Well, match this. Boo! And then watch what happens, you know.
Man, that'd be so bitching on account of what if you'd ever do it.
I'm not going to do anything like that. I wouldn't run for Congress. First of all, I'm not qualified. Second of all, they're not qualified. Third of all, I'm having a perfectly good time here. And fourth of all, I'm planning on leaving the country very soon. As soon as I make enough money, I'm going to buy back my island from Marlon Brando's family. All right, we'll be right back here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget we're on Twitter, twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. And you can go over to our website, www.philhendryshow.com, and look at our live streaming video and listen to our live streaming audio. All right, two radio hosts have been suspended for saying a dirty word. We'll find out what that was, and the world according to tonight, with a special guest coming up on the Phil Hendry Show.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, the world according to, we'll have a special guest. We know who is it yet, bud?
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, you're not going to tell me?
No, I just still be surprised. It's somebody who figured out who Rube Goldberg is.
I already know who Rube Goldberg is.
Who?
Some cat that was a cartoonist and he made weird-ass stuff, you know, You know Robert?
Yeah, Rube Goldberg, man, he would make a cartoon. Right?
Yeah.
And it would have a machine that very complex. And then when a machine does all is complex, you know, but finally it did something similar like pour water, something like that.
Brad, what are you talking about?
No, he's right. That's what it was. It was a very complex machine only to do something really simple like pour a glass of water. You know, it would knock over something and then something would roll down. So Rube Goldberg would invent this crap. And that's what this lady is saying about the... the stimulus package, that it's a very simple thing of getting the money to the community, but it's having to go through all of these different agencies. Well, you know, and she doesn't want fraud. So I got a great idea. How about the feds just lay it right on the contractors? I'm sure that's a lot better. You know, the people at the state level are going to scream bloody murder no matter what you do. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Tommy in Louisville, our brand new affiliate in Louisville. Hey, Tommy, how are you doing?
Hey, welcome to town there.
Town there, huh?
Yeah, welcome to town. We're nice. I'm a listener of the old rock station, and I just happened to catch you on here. First time I've heard your show. Sound like my kind of guy, and I was just telling your screener.
Did you work at the room? Did you work at the station? Work at the station?
I do. I work the overnights.
Oh.
And I heard
that's a first for me. I got the disc jockeys calling me from the. I got the DJs calling in, huh?
You got to come to Derby.
I'll do that, man. I'll do that. Anyway, so what you're telling me is I took your gig, but you're still happy enough to say, come on to the Kentucky Derby. Is that it?
You'd have a blast.
All right, man. Thank you very much, Tommy. You're a nice man.
Thanks.
And I will. I appreciate that. I can't believe that's the first.
What is?
That's the first time I ever had the cat whose show I replaced call me up and ask me to come to town and enjoy the Kentucky Derby.
Maybe he's drunk.
Maybe he's just a nice guy. Did you think about that? Maybe he's drunk.
I would be. I'd be drunk. I'd call up, hey, man, no hard feelings. Why don't you come to Derby, man? And then you get out of the car, you know, take a, I don't know, like a, you know, a sap or something, beat him over the head, see what he got, and then go on to the next town and get another gig, you know?
Oh, yeah, beat him up, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on here to Jamie. Jamie, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What do you got to say tonight?
Hey, Phil, I just was listening to you talk to an earlier caller, and you were talking about how the government has never sponsored anything that seems to have failed. And I was just kind of curious what your opinion
was. I never said any such thing. I said the government, you can't say everything the government's touched has been a failure. There have been some successes, is what I said.
Sure, that's fair. And except I wouldn't say that NASA just gets its money, like the space, you know, talking about landing on the moon. That was just getting their money from the government. But I don't think it was being run by the government.
Yes, it most certainly is being run by the government. Yes, it most certainly is.
Okay. We'll have to agree to disagree.
I can tell you, you got your information wrong. It was an agency set up by the United States government. It's funded by the United States Congress. The people that work for NASA, some of them are subcontractors. Yes, you're right. But the flight controllers... The astronauts, the guys that build the crafts, I understand, but do you understand, let me explain something if I could, and I don't mean to talk down to you.
Sure. No, go ahead.
Do you understand that the government programs utilize subcontractors all the time, my man? All the time.
Absolutely.
The United States military uses subcontractors. Even the VA uses they buy their prescription medicine, they buy their equipment from private companies. You can't find a government program anywhere that doesn't utilize private business somehow.
Sure. So let's switch gears and talk about Social Security then. That's absolutely bankrupt and failed. It was supposed to be paying money out from an investment, from profits on investments that people had made generations before, and instead... The dollars I'm putting in right now because I'm working.
Failed when? Failed who? Who did it fail?
Who did it fail?
Yeah, my mother got Social Security checks until the day she died. My father did too.
Yeah.
Who are you talking about? Who's it failing?
I won't see it. I can guarantee you.
All right, so it's so you're saying it's failing now?
Yeah, I'm saying that now it is.
Oh,
it's
failing. And because now it's failing because of mismanagement, you're saying the entire program was a failure? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm saying that because it's failed now because of mismanagement, that is basically a prototype for other systems that could or things that could happen if the government...
See, I wonder if you're just looking for things that fail so your philosophy of government will be propped up as opposed to if you're looking really with a clear eye at each individual program and saying, well, this one's good, this one's bad, this one maybe need a little fixing, this one was a bad idea to begin with. Because I don't hear that from you. I hear you saying to me, Social Security is a failure, Phil. You know why? Because, aha, it's beginning to fail now some 70-plus years after it was founded. It's now failing, so therefore the whole thing was a failure. That's not honest.
No, that's fair. You're fair. That's right. You're right. There are some that do work. I'll give you that. But at what point in time, or let me back up then, at what point in our history was our government founded, when our government was it founded so that it could be more in the people's lives or so that it could simply help the states do what they were supposed to do so that people could live their lives individually?
Well, let's take a look at the preamble of the Constitution. The answer to that is in the preamble to the Constitution. And I can't quote it, But it says something about provide for the common defense, ensure
right.
domestic tranquility,
peace,
promote
yeah,
the
domestic peace, yeah.
Yeah. Promote the general welfare and ensure, and there's also another one, ensure these blessings to our posterity, meaning we have to plan for others behind us, which is also true, and I know that's a major part of the thing. Right.
Right.
Now, that's a really highly interpretive phrase, but in those phrases, one can see from time to time a more activist government hand and maybe from time to time a less activist government hand. Very good call. I appreciate it, man. I got to take a break. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show with more from the KLBJ hosts.
Phil Hendry.
Wow.
Woo!
Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry. Well, you want to know why we're world famous? Because this radio show is the only one anywhere on a radio dial, and it's the only show anywhere in the broadcast medium where you can go and get yourself a straight shot in a beer, man. This is like the straight shot in a beer of information. We'll just lay it on you. Here it is. This is what you need, and you can go off and, you know, make crap out of it if you want to, but don't say that you went over to Phil and he lied to you, because I ain't ever going to do that, man. That's why next hour I come out and tell you that I'm gay. Now then.
You are? He's kidding around, man. Everything you say, you believe in.
Are you an idiot or something? No, I'm not. Not that I'd have a problem admitting it if I were, and there are some days when... Anyway, the last gentleman, just to... I want to be clear. This is the preamble to the Constitution of the U.S. of the United States of this here America. Now, there's not a lot we need to know, and 200-plus years after the country's founding, there are still people saying, but in the Declaration of Independence, it says... A Declaration of Independence is a nice document. It's got no bearing in terms of law anymore. It told us that the British can drop dead. That's it. You know that in the Declaration... You get out of here with the Declaration. The Constitution. See, that's one of the things that people... What the hell kind of show is this, man? You're talking about the Constitution? I got to start at the beginning sometime. Everybody, you know, I'm not saying that people listening to me are stupid... But it just, you know, what we call on radio, the cume, you know, people just popping in and out. And I bet you I'm saying something that at least one or two people tonight didn't know. The Constitution is the law of the land, not the Declaration of Independence. There'll be some people out there saying, wait a minute, I heard the guy say that. Well, yeah, no, that's bullcrap because I thought Benjamin Franklin was the first czar. No, he was a president and it was we the people of the United States, that would be you and me. In order to form a more perfect union, because the Articles of Confederation sucked, because it wasn't a perfect union, because each state had its own currency, and each state had its own laws, and each state had its own commerce, and each state, it was no good. We needed to have a more perfect union. Establish justice. Justice. What's justice? Truth. That's what justice is, truth. It's another word for truth. Articulating the truth. Not horse dung. Not prejudice, not the way we want it to be, not the way we wish it was, not the way that we hope it is, not the way that maybe someday it'll be, not the way that it was yesterday or the way that it's going to be 6 weeks from now. What's the truth today, right now? That's justice. Ensure domestic tranquility. Well, now, shut my mouth. What does that mean? Ensure domestic tranquility. Well, back then... It meant that they wanted to have everything chilled out between the states. There wasn't any fighting. Everybody had a more common language that one would speak. I mean that in terms of business and commerce, not like English. That we were doing business in a peaceable manner, agreeable manner. But some in later generations may take that to mean ensure domestic tranquility as in no matter what happens around here, you know, we've got to make sure that everything is chill. Like when Washington went out and he said, there's a bunch of jackasses out here in Pennsylvania. They're a bunch of farmers, and they don't want to pay a whiskey tax. And Washington said, well, they're gonna. And they said, well, no, we're not gonna. Who do you think you are, King George? He said, no, but I'm the president, and I have the power to put this down, to put down this rebellion. You're not paying a federal tax, right? And they said, what is this, some bullcrap? So they grabbed their pitchforks and their guns, and Washington got a whole bunch of soldiers, and he went out there and he said, stick it right back up where you put it, baby, okay? You're going to pay the tax. That's the law. That was a tough one, man, because the country wasn't very old. Promote the general welfare. Now, what does that mean? Promote the general welfare. Some people may think it means it's the same thing as tranquility, domestic tranquility. But no, it's more than just domestic tranquility. Promoting the general welfare is not just that there's peace, but that there's a little bit of growth. That we have what we need to live. That we have what we need to survive, you know, our welfare. Promote it. Not provide for it. Promote it. How do you do that? You try the best way you can as a federal body to influence or legislate so that everybody in the country is taken care of to some degree. Or at least promote that notion. Secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. What the hell does that mean? Well, it means not only do we make sure that we're free, but we've got to make sure that our country survives for people that we don't even know. Now, that's heavy. I don't know about anybody else. That almost brings a tear to your eye if you think about it, because it's the only thing, really, in the Constitution that demands something of us from the original charter. It says to us, now, this is a job we got to do here, right? We have to not only ensure our own blessings, but we've got to make sure that people that aren't even born yet have a taste of what we got, see? The country must go on, is what it's saying. We must go on as a country. And then it finally says, we do ordain and establish the Constitution of the United States of Mexico. And that's where they got it wrong.
Yeah, see that? Are you kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say, man.
No, it says United States of America. So that's a lot of stuff there, man. And that just kicks the whole thing off, see? That just kicks it off. Then there's a bunch of other stuff. But that pretty much tells us who we are, what we want, and how we're going to go about doing it. And every generation, because as we've said, if you don't like the term elastic, because let me say the Constitution's an elastic document. Yeah, nobody ever said that. You just made that up. You read that somewhere. That was never said. All right, so it was never said. I can't cite it. But we do know that every Supreme Court justice, well, not every, but a lot of them have said, you have to see this document through the lens of contemporary society. So those phrases mean slightly different things to a slightly different generations of Americans. I remember back in the 70s when we were arguing about the Second Amendment, and they said a well-regulated militia. Oh, that means National Guard. That doesn't mean private gun ownership. And that was a hell of a thing. People were going around with that for years. And so on and so forth. And what do you do about a woman's right to choose? Does that have to do with the right to be secure in one's person and effects? What other aspect? It's a tough job, man. And that whole thing with Sotomayor and every damn justice that is ever up in front of a Senate committee, it's the same dance over and over and over again.
Where do you stand on abortion?
She ain't going to tell you, man. So quit asking the question, you puffed up jackass.
Where do you stand on gun rights?
If the judge is a real judge, I mean a real magistrate, her opinion has nothing whatsoever to do with this, and people just don't get it. They don't get it. He's a conservative judge. And then the guy turns around and he rules in favor of something that he votes with the liberal element. He's a liberal judge. And then he votes with the conservative element. And it flips these jackasses out because they still don't understand what the job is. This is the only job, I would say, in government where you really actually need some experience, and that is sitting in the Supreme Court. All right, let's take a break. Let's take a phone call, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Kim. Kim, what do you want to say tonight, man?
Well, everybody's talking about this reform of our healthcare system. But the one thing nobody talks about is reviewing and allowing Medicare to negotiate for the lowest prices on pharmaceuticals. Because in the Bush administration, they specifically prohibited Medicare from negotiating prices like the government employees union insurance does or the military's insurance does. And that, therefore, when they talk about the failure of Medicare to hold down costs and about it bankrupting Medicare, they're forgetting about these prohibitions allowing negotiation for the lowest prices.
On Medicare?
Yes, right.
All right.
And,
well,
and this is one of the problems we have because of the runaway costs with Medicare. They keep on.
Well, you understand that they're. You know, I know that. But what you're understanding is that they're now proposing to broker health care, which by definition means you're looking for the lowest price and the best provide. You know, the best care at the lowest possible price.
But we also need to look at the details. They may not be. They may be saying one thing and not doing the other.
Maybe, but again, you're only talking about people that are unable to insure through the more traditional means. If you got it, I got it. I got my health care through who the hell do I got? I got Blue Cross. I got another company for my prescription medicine. Okay, Phil Hendry's happy. I get it through my union. Everything's beautiful, and I don't need any of this jazz. Maybe you don't either. But there's somebody out there, 40 million of them, that everybody's got to get insured, and they've been talking about this for decades. So now we've got this brokerage where these guys can go and maybe get this health care. Now, are they going to be standing in line? Not necessarily, because they're looking at a, like I said, this brokerage house, this government brokerage house, looking for the best care at the lowest possible price. I know what you're saying. They could get screwed. There may be some, you know, you got to take a look at these companies. You got to vet these companies properly. But the way they're proposing to do this, yeah, you're right. But the way they're proposing to do this is to get these companies, quality companies in there that are offering a competitive price that provide good care, and people can choose between that. And if they can't afford that, then the fallback is a government plan, which, yeah, then you will be standing in line for 58 years waiting for a liver transplant, and you'll probably die as you're getting out of the car. But, hey, I mean, that's poverty, man. That's like at the bottom of the barrel there, Jack, you know. And I hope I never get to that point in my life.
Well, but why don't we also open us up to the same insurance that the same health care that the government employees, including Congress, gets for universal health care?
Because those guys are paying in, just like everybody else, and they're probably paying in a pretty penny, and they get a, you know.
75% of their premiums are paid by the taxpayer.
Well, yeah, but then their salary's paid by the taxpayer.
That's
they're
right,
government employees.
They only kick in 25% of their premiums. So why can't we have...
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, let's do it. Okay, thanks. Yeah, you're right, exactly. Right, bye. See you later.
What'd you do? What happened to him?
I don't know, man. I can't get... That's too heavy, man. It's the heaviosity of it. It's blowing my mind, all this healthcare jazz. I think we can be clear on one thing. You guys that don't have healthcare, man, we're taking care of you. Everybody's worried because it costs a lot, 75% of the GDP. So we're trying to handle the problem, do the best thing we can. I will give that guy King one thing, man. When I was listening to him blathering on today, he said, now there are some aspects to this program that I like. See, in other words, the answer to the question, do we need this? Yes, on some level, in some form. How much? Can't agree. How big? Can't agree. But do we need some legislation that is going to get the health care out there for these 40 million or whoever they are so they got it and so everybody's taken care of and so we don't have to hear about this as long as we live, man? And the answer to that question is, yeah, there's general agreement that we need something like that, man. I don't know how they're splitting these hairs. Do you? And I guess I ought to read the whole damn thing because, as it turns out, half of these jive-ass mothers, they ain't reading it, that's for sure. So I tell you what, Congress, for a pretty penny, I'll read every bill that you jackballs can't read because you're off doing, I don't know, you know, having hairs pulled out of your lip. I mean, the cat's got a good question there, you know. But I'm paying for, I got my union insurance, but see, I got to make enough money under SAG and AFTRA every year to make sure that my insurance is there. But it's a damn good insurance program, although they did just they closed down. They had an urgent care thing over here, you know, where I could go and maybe if, like, I stubbed my toe, I could go and maybe I see one of those retired guys.
Yeah, you could go over there and get stitches and see Mo Howard.
Mo Howard.
Dude, who gets to see over there?
I didn't see anybody. I'm just kidding around. So there's all kinds of insurance you've got. If you ain't, you're one of the 40 million, this is the deal. You're going to be able to go, and there's going to be a brokerage, and I need health insurance. Okay, here are all the different programs. Can you afford this? No. This? No. This? No. I like that, but I can't afford that. All right, then we have this government program, and this is really going to suck. However, it's going to be there, and you can stand in line and wait to get your appendix taken out. Even if it explodes in your gut, maybe 3 days later we'll get to you, and that's about as good as it's going to get. You know that's how it's going to be. At the beginning. See, once the program gets into place, and it won't be in place the way they're saying, don't worry about it, okay? Everybody's sweating this socialized medicine jazz. Boy, this is killing me. I mean, I want to laugh until I'm sick all over myself. Oh, it's socialized. They're talking about the 40 million guys, and I don't know how many of them are so dirt stinking poor they can't afford anything to go for this government deal. Hell, at that point, I might opt just for a witch doctor or something, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go and stand in line and have my appendix explode.
I'd take my chances with a witch doctor. Thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. I wish I had some good out music for that, bud.
Yeah, here, hold on for a minute. Here you go.
All right, I would rather take my chances with a witch doctor. All right, we'll be right back here. What the hell is this, working in a coal mine?
Yeah, I love this jam, man. It's a bad jam, man. Stand on that redneck noise.
Working in a coal.
Yes, I'd rather take my chances with a Haitian witchy, witch queen. All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. The world famous Phil Hendry show coming up in God We Trust.
5 o'clock in the morning. I'm already up and gone.
Phil Hendry.
Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now it's time for Iron Swine. And in this episode of the Weiner Swine,
I'm called Iron Swine, man. This episode of Iron Swine, going to go to, health insurance for an old lady living on the street, Iron Swine.
Yeah, that's right, Iron Swine. Iron Swine gets into the van in a wheelchair after he's had his pig meal.
Yeah, and I'll go down the street because they got to get health insurance for an old lady.
The old lady don't have any health insurance. And Iron Swine, it goes to the government. Do you have health insurance?
No, we don't have none for no old lady.
How about that, bro, the health insurance, what you can stand in line until your appendix explodes?
Nah, we ain't got none of that neither.
So then Iron Swine got to go down to the witch queen. She's down the street. Hey, witch queen, what about it? Go ahead, you play the witch queen part.
I don't want to play that.
Come on.
Well, I don't have no health insurance either, you know.
Oh, okay, Witch Queen, thanks a lot.
What's that, boy?
So then Iron Swine goes and gets his gun and shoots the Witch Queen and kills everybody.
That's Iron Swine, brought to you by Smith & Wesson.
He blowed their heads off.
Iron Swine. Boy, that was the stupidest one you guys have done yet.
Why?
So then he gets his gun and blows everyone's head off.
I told you it had a bad ending.
No, it doesn't. Perfect. That's what Iron Swine will do.
What do you mean that's what he'll do? He's supposed to get health insurance for the old lady. Now, she's got no health insurance, and he's killed everybody.
Yeah. Iron Swine.
877-876-PHIL. What are we doing here? Okay, we're going over to Houston, and we have on the line with us David. David, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Phil. My first time to talk to you. My pleasure.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Unfortunately, I have to disagree with you this first time. As you were rambling through the preamble to the Constitution, there were a lot of minor errors, but the most major error that you, when you went through your recitation, is talking about promoting the general welfare. Making sure that people are provided for has nothing to do with the role of government, has nothing to do with the Constitution. The Constitution is the foundation for the rule of law in our land. And what the Constitution is talking about with the preamble is making sure that we establish laws that ensure that we are promoting general welfare. What that basically means is to make sure that the playing field is set up so that people can play fair. You know, things like antitrust laws, that falls in line with the Constitution. But we're not, our founding fathers never envisioned.
But you see, you're not saying much different from what I said.
No, I am. Because
you just used the phrase, make sure the playing field is level.
Yes, but what
now,
you said,
if you're a justice in the Supreme Court, or you're a magistrate at a lower level, I take that phrase, make sure the playing field is level, and I may not just apply that to companies or corporations, I may apply that to people.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But that doesn't mean that things like affirmative action fall into that category. That doesn't.
When did I mention affirmative action?
I didn't say you did, but what you did say is that our government is to make sure that people are provided for. No, they're not. The government is.
No, I did not. Sure no, I did not. No, see, you didn't even listen to me, man. No, I didn't. No, boy, that's no, amazing. No, okay. No, I never said the government provides for people. No,
yes,
I said that the government is to promote. I said not provide, promote. I remember making that specific, very, very specific statement. Not provide, promote.
Okay.
I said that.
Let's do this. Water under the bridge. If you're saying you're not making that statement.
See,
now,
I'm troubled that you're telling me you disagreed with something. Then you brought up a phrase that you don't really disagree with me on. Then you didn't even hear me right. So I'm not really sure.
Are you there?
Because I've said I can tell you this much, man. I've talked about this before, and I have always, in discussing this, I've always emphasized that the Constitution says promote, not provide. The word is promote, not provide.
Well, we agree on that, but I'm just telling you, when you went through that, you said that to some degree that our government is supposed to provide for people or make sure they're provided for, is what you said.
No.
And one other
That's what you wanted to hear, man. No, you're hearing what you want to hear, and you're not listening.
I've listened to you many
no,
times.
No, you didn't listen to what I said. I got to take a break, unfortunately. Now you're going to think I'm a real jackass, but I do.
Phil
I appreciate
Henry.
It. We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show, The World According To,
Visit
with Margaret Gray coming up next
time. TalkRadioNetwork.com.